Okay, everyone, I've got 12:55. We can move right into the CSLF meeting. We'll call them. Well, first of all, I've got to read our preamble. Please bear with me. In accordance with state law regarding public meetings held via electronic equipment, this meeting will be recorded and the recording will be posted on the authority's website. We need to begin with a roll call of board members. My name's Peter Lisi. Obviously, I'm present. Judith Blank.
Present.
Thank you. Andrew Foster.
Present.
Thank you. Michael Izzati.
Present.
Thank you. Carrie Kelly. Stella Lopez.
Present.
Present.
Sorry, present. Carrie Kelly's present.
Oh, thank you, Carrie. All right, Stella is present. Kimberly
Yes.
Moores.
Present.
Thank you. Julie Savino.
Present.
Thank you. Laura Baker.
Present.
Thank you. And Jeanette Weldon.
Present.
Thank you. All right. Individuals are asked to state their name and title before speaking during the meeting. Votes will be taken by roll call unless the vote is unanimous. And in the event the meeting is interrupted due to technical difficulties, members and staff will receive a text or an email advising whether number one, the meeting is adjourned or canceled, or number two, the time the meeting will resume. All right, with that, we are called to order. And first item is the approval of minutes from September 17th. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as presented?
So move, Estela.
Thank you, Stella. Is there a second?
Second, Judith.
Thank you, Judith. Any corrections need to be made? Any edits or comments?
Peter, I happen to notice it's not really a big deal, but under members absent, Mike Izzati is listed as a designee of the Connecticut OPM acting secretary.
Yes.
I don't think Secretary Beckham is the acting secretary.
Good catch. Thank you.
I didn't even notice that. Thanks, Kim.
I don't even know how I did. I just was running through this and there it was.
That's a pretty thorough read, Kimberly. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? All right. Motion was made and seconded to adopt the minutes as presented. Unless there's any other questions, comments, or edits, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions?
I'm
I'll abstain.
abstaining.
Well, there were a couple there. Michael
Hi,
Izzati
Stella.
Mike is already
abstaining.
abstained.
Estella abstaining.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Okay, two abstentions. Thank you. Okay, next item, the ethics training. Denise, I believe just for the record, we need to state that ethics training was provided during the CHESLA meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, so for the record, we've had our ethics training. Jeanette, Executive Director's report.
Yes, the only thing I'd mention is, we continue to pay down on the bonds as revenues are available, and Gaul will be giving a more detailed report on that later.
Okay. Any questions for Jeanette? All right. Charles, you going to do the Philip report?
Yes, Charles Body, Managing Director of Finance and Operations. Today we have Whittlesey joining us. They will present their agreed upon procedures report. This is performed every year and focuses on compliance with FFELP loan program requirements. This report trails the audit presentation, which we had back in September, as there's some underlying work that needs to be completed before Whittlesey gets to perform their review. So, with that being said, I'll turn it over to Whittlesey for their presentation of the report.
Great. Thanks, Charles. Tom Gofoss, partner at Whittlesey. With me, Nicole Peltier, manager. She's sharing her screen. As Charles alluded to, this follows up on our audit report. For those that maybe remember, we used to present this as part of our audit, but now, due to the servicer change, which is FHEA, which is Pennsylvania Higher Education Assistance Agency. That report now is a little bit delayed in receiving. So we do our work once that report is completed. Nikki, if you'll change to the next page, I'll go over our report. The So this is a little bit different than an audit, and I'll give you guys a little bit of a background. This is what's referred to as an agreed upon procedure engagement. So it's an attest engagement, but it's not an audit. The procedures that are selected are management's responsibilities, but those procedures are outlined in the U.S. Department of Education's Guide for Compliance with regard to the FELP program. So this procedure is performed for the period July 1, 2024 through June 30, 2025. We've completed our procedures, which follow this opinion report, which Nikki will go over. There were no findings, though, so kind of skip to the good news here. But this report is restricted to your use as well as the Department of Education. As I mentioned, it's not an audit, so no further reliance can be put on any thing we do. So, for example, if we did a full audit, there may be other matters that would come to our attention. But since this is specific to these two procedures, our work is specific to these two procedures. So with that, Nikki, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you. So yeah, also a little background, kind of this is like layers of audit and accounting work. So FIA, as a lender servicer, is required to have an audit or attestation engagement by an independent auditor accounting firm. So and that's required under the U.S. Department of Education compliance guide for lender servicers that have federal Family Education Loan Program loans. So our engagement as CSLF's independent accountants is to obtain that lender servicer report and perform the procedures further laid out by the U.S. Department of Education's compliance guide. So that's really what's summarized here on this page. There's just two overall procedures. The first is, again, we obtain and review that lender servicer compliance report that's used by CSLF as the lender to satisfy the alternative engagement approach and ascertain that the report packages meets the requirements of the compliance guide. And that includes the length and end date of the audit period, as Tom mentioned, is on a fiscal year end of June 30th, 2025, the scope of the audit or attestation, the professional standards and requirements with which that engagement was performed, and then again with the findings. There were no findings, so that kind of cancels out the second procedure this year. As we mentioned, there were no findings, and we did review FIA's servicer compliance report that was issued by KPMG, and it did meet all of those compliance checkboxes there. So the audit period was appropriate. The scope of the attestation covered the compliance guide, which I'll kind of touch on briefly on a further page. The professional standards were in accordance with AICPA standards, and there were no findings present for this fiscal period or the prior period. If there were findings, that would lead us to the second procedure, which would require us to review if any of those findings of non-compliance on FIA's side were for compliance functions for which CSLF has contracted with FIA to perform. So again, no findings, so nothing to report there. Then the next page is just some required information identifying the lender being CSLF, the lender servicer being FIA, and us as the independent audit or accounting firm. And then further in the package is the management representation letter that we obtained from CSLF management. We have a similar letter that's lengthier for our audit of the financial statements. These are just representations made by management, noting that they're responsible for the compliance with the compliance guide, that they're responsible for selecting the criteria, other matters that are. Again, no changes in this format of the report from prior years. And then in the back here, this is FIA's compliance package. So essentially, this is what we obtain and review for our portion of the engagement. So their letter here, noting that they have attached the compliance package for this current fiscal year. And down below here is KPMG's report over FIA's compliance. And so really the compliance elements that they're looking at includes interest benefits and special allowance payments, loan records and administration, payment processing, due diligence, timely claim funding, or filing and curing violations as described in the U.S. Department of Education's guide. And in their opinion, their assertion was, the management's assertion being FIA's management's assertion was fairly stated. And here's FIA's management assertion. And again, down here, we can see that there were no findings identified for this fiscal year or the prior fiscal year. So again, no changes in the compliance elements from prior years. I don't think it's changed since 2020. And no findings for the last few years. So there's been no real changes in format to our report. Any questions?
Any questions for Nicole? Nicole, forgive me for this, but I'm a former educator and I have a very quick edit for you. The first page of the letter,
this our independent accountants report. Sorry, yes. I stopped sharing.
Yeah. It's just it's format. There's a formatting issue here. I can talk to you.
Sure, I can share.
It's just it says 280. Go up top. No, I'm sorry. It's the letter dated November 3rd, Connecticut Student Loan Foundation. Keep going.
There
you go. You see the address? Hartford ought to be brought down. Right there. There you go.
Got it.
You see that?
Yep, I do.
Just a formatting thing. That's fine. And then I had... No, I guess that we can let the other one. That's it. Any other questions? Questions? All right. I believe this is an action item, needs to be acted upon and approved and accepted by the board. Would someone like to make a motion to accept the report as presented?
This is Andrew.
Don't let us all jump at once.
I think I heard Andrew move it and I heard Judith second it.
There you go.
Any questions? Comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, let's move on to the financial report.
Hi, good afternoon. Kevin Berry, senior accountant for CSLF and CHIFA.
Yeah.
If we could start on page 28. Beginning with the assets, the unrestricted assets saw an increased balance at $453,000 for the current fiscal year 26 versus the prior fiscal year, which had $130,000. This increase comes from a trust transfer of $350,000 in September to cover the portfolio servicing fee, which is paid out of the agency operating account on behalf of the trust. The monthly administrative income transfer from the trust to the agency was no longer suitable to cover the servicing fee. Therefore, a transfer was made for cash flow coverage of the agency account. And I believe this will have to be revisited either annually or periodically. Moving on, loans receivable decreased by $9,270,000 as students continue to make principal payments on their loans. Also, please note the LARS has been recorded as a receivable opposed to a contra liability account as it was historically recorded. This was a recommendation from the auditors. And also, again, the LARS is a federal subsidy paid to CSLF on the FFELP loans to make up the difference on the borrower's fixed rate loans when the prevailing market is at a higher rate. Moving on to the liabilities.
Kevin, excuse me. Kevin, yes. Excuse me. What does LARS stand for?
I don't know the exact
Okay.
meaning of the acronym, but it's
Okay.
a payment from the special allowance projection, which is, as explained, the subsidy based on the rate differences from the fixed rate loans versus current market rate.
Okay.
Peter, this is for the record, this is Tim Webb, Senior Vice President at Hilltop. Yeah, the loans that you have in this portfolio, other than the private loans, receive income in two forms. One is the interest rate that the borrower pays, and one is the special allowance rate that brings it up, as was stated, to what would be considered a market rate. So every quarter, a LARS report is provided and submitted to the Department of Education, and then they make a payment that brings that special allowance payment back to the authority. The only problem is with regard to those is that some loans have negative, what we call negative SAP, negative special allowance, if the interest rates drop, and then when interest rates rise, you get positive SAP. So that's all recorded in the LARS that gets submitted.
Okay, that's very helpful, Tim. Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, Kevin, sorry, go ahead.
Moving on to the liabilities, bonds payable decreased by 10.5 million as bonds are redeemed from available trust cash as student payments are received, leaving us at a total net position of 21.7 million, which is an increase of 500,000 from the prior fiscal year. And also note that the unrestricted cash is increasing as restricted cash is decreasing, which is natural as the debt parity ratio becomes more favorable for CSLF. With that said, on the next page shows the parity ratio. And you can see that the current fiscal year, it's an increase of 15%, up to 162.5%. Next, we go to page 30. This is the consolidated income statement, beginning with revenue. Loan interest income has decreased by 200,000 in the current fiscal year, and this is attributed to the principal receivable naturally declining as students pay down their balances. Total late fee and investment income also decreased by 76,000 year over year, which is in line. Expenses, the interest bond expense has decreased by 360,000 as bond liability balance declines as CSLF prepays their bonds. And this leaves us at a net position before transfers to CSLF of a gain of 360,000, an increase of 50,000 from the last fiscal year. And that's it. Any questions?
Questions for Kevin? All right. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. All right, moving on to bond redemption.
Yeah, this is Robbie Johnson,
Bob Johnson, yeah.
senior accounting analyst at Goal Solutions, presenting the Q3 bond redemption activity. So during the quarter, 2.5 million in bonds were redeemed, up from last quarter's total of 2.1 million. The breakdown being 1.25 million for the 2006 A1 tranche and 1.2 million for the 2006 A2 tranche. The quarter's activity resulted in a total outstanding bond balance of 33.6 million, representing a 6.8 decline from last quarter. And then if you move on to the next page, looking at the characteristics for the FFELP portfolio, the weighted average coupon decreased by 6 basis points from 7.24% to 7.18%, while the weighted average remaining term increased from 227 months to 230 months. In terms of repayment statuses, 89% of the FFELP and 98% of the private were in active repayment, while 11% of the FFELP and 2% of the private were in either a deferment or forbearance status. That's my summary of the bond activity. Are there any questions?
Any questions for Robbie? Okay, hearing none, thank
Thank
you.
you.
All right, I believe our last item is the board meeting schedule for 2026. Similar to what we needed to do for CESLA, please review this. put the dates on your calendar, and I would entertain a motion to adopt the board meeting schedule for 2026 as presented. Is there a motion?
Julie Savino, so moved.
Thank you, Julie. Is there a second?
Judith, second.
Thank you, Judith. It's been made. The motion's been made and seconded to adopt the meeting schedule as presented. Any questions or comments? Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting the schedule as presented, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you all very much. Motion carries. Please mark your calendar. And I believe that's our last agenda item. However, if anyone has any other business, please raise it now. Any other business to be brought forward? Anything?
Peter, this is Judith. Has the have we congratulated Jeanette on her award? I know we have individually, but
we actually, that's a very good point, Judith. I think we all have individually, but I think for the record, it would be very appropriate to congratulate Jeanette on a well-deserved award upcoming. Jeanette, do you want to describe it a little bit more for those who are on the call or on this meeting who don't know the details of it?
Sure. Thank you very much. It's the Frieda Johnson Award. Frieda Johnson has been a pioneer in public finance, and she's a founding member of Northeast Women in Public Finance, which is also the organization making the award. And it recognizes women who, you know, trailblazing women, as they kind of put it, with a track record of having impact in public finance. And so there's a public sector awardee and a private sector awardee. And so I'm very honored to be the public sector awardee this year. And as I've mentioned to many of the people associated with granting the award, that really it's because of the good work done by the Chief and Chesla staffs that also have helped to move the organizations forward in a way that has led to this award. So all of that is part of the recognition. So thank you very much.
Well, and if I may add, it's presented at a pretty prestigious
event,
the Bond Buyer Dinner or Deal of the Year Award Dinner, where these individual awards are also given out. So it's a very, very well attended public finance event. It's a big deal. So Jeanette, you're going to be in the spotlight, my friend.
Yes.
You know, Jeanette,
as is typical,
Jeanette is very, very humble. She says she's very honored to receive the award, but I will say she's very deserving of the award as well.
So thank you all. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Any other business? If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor of adjournment, please say aye.
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 Thank you all very much, and a wonderful holiday season to all.